Nemoto presents Theater for Beginners. Ariane Nutschkein, Collective Creation. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Christopher voice. Running time, approximately 18 minutes. Paris, 1973. The dim, cavernous interior of La Cartoucherie, a former munitions factory on the outskirts of the city, has been transformed into a bustling revolutionary fairground. It is here that 1789, a theatrical reenactment of the French Revolution, is about to unfold, not on a single stage but all around the audience. The spectators, a mix of students, workers, intellectuals, and curious Parisians, mill about uncertainly. There are no plush seats. Instead, platforms and scaffoldings are arranged like islands in a sea of standing viewers. The smell of fresh bread and onion soup wafts through the air. Members of the troupe have cooked a simple soup they plan to share with the audience during intermission, an offering of fellowship. Suddenly, a drumroll resounds. Actors in 18th-century peasant garb emerge, shouting grievances and singing a rousing tune of rebellion. On a raised platform to the left, an actor playing a starched wig aristocrat topples a pile of fake coins, symbolizing the collapse of the old order. On another platform to the right, a group of sans-culottes, revolutionary commoners, hoist a makeshift tricolor flag and cheer. The audience instinctively splits to give space as a chorus of market women with baskets snakes through, singing of bread and justice. Laughter erupts when one of the aristocrats flees through the crowd, pursued by a yelling mob of actors who gently sweep some spectators into their chase. In the midst of this orchestrated chaos stands Ariane Nutschkein, the director, though you wouldn't know it at first glance. She's dressed plainly, moving among her actors and occasionally among the audience, guiding the action with the lightest touch, a whispered cue here, a hand signal there. Her face is alive with intensity. At 34, she has already the gravitas and warmth of a beloved leader. This isn't just a play to her, it's a communal ceremony, a living slice of history shared by actors and audience together. For a moment, as a guillotine prop is rolled out and a red scarf flutters down symbolizing the blood of the tyrants, Ariane steps back and observes the faces around her. People are enthralled, surprised, moved. Strangers grin at each other as a sly joke is played out by an actor mimicking King Louis. A few eyes well with tears when the crowd sings a mournful verse about hunger. The barriers between them, the performers, and us, the audience, have dissolved. All are, in effect, citizens of this theatrical revolutionary France for the night. This is the magic of Théâtre du Soleil, the Theater of the Sun, which Ariane Nutschkein founded and nurtured, a collective creation that envelopes everyone in its warmth. How did we arrive at this jubilant upheaval at the Cartoucherie? Ariane Nutschkein's story begins with a young woman who felt that theater could be something more than a stiff, elite pastime. Born in 1939, Nutschkein grew up in a family that appreciated art and film. Her father was a film producer, and she was cosmopolitan from the start, of Russian Jewish heritage, raised in France, educated partly in England. In Paris, as a university student in the late 1950s, she gathered friends to put on plays in unconventional spaces. They formed ATP, the Student Theater Association of Paris, where the seeds of collective work were sown. It was the 1960s, and the air in France buzzed with calls for social change and creativity unbound by old rules. Ariane studied briefly under the great mime and theater teacher Jacques Lecoq, learning the power of the body in storytelling, the use of masks, and the idea that acting could be generated from physical improvisation rather than just scripted words. In 1964, together with fellow dreamers, she founded Théâtre du Soleil. Right from the name, Theater of the Sun, there was a sense of idealism and warmth. They set it up as a collective. Decisions were made communally, profits shared equally among the troupe, no hierarchy of stars. Ariane, though undoubtedly the director, positioned herself as first among equals, a guiding vision but one that emerged from group collaboration. The troupe lived and worked together, often cooking, building sets, and brainstorming as a unit. They wanted to break away from both the commercial theater system and the ossified state theaters. Instead, they sought freedom to create pieces that spoke to the people, that could educate and inspire, and that were born from everyone's input. Their early works were playful and politically tinged. They staged a piece in 1965 called Les Petits Bourgeois, after Gorky, and others that already experimented with form and collective staging. But it was in 1968, the year of worldwide student protests and the Paris Uprising of May 68, that Théâtre du Soleil made a defining move. As students were occupying universities and workers were striking, Nutschkine's group occupied a defunct munitions factory in the Vincennes Woods outside Paris, La Cartoucherie. It was an empty, cold industrial space, but they saw it as a blank canvas. With their own hands and a lot of sweat, they cleaned it, set up stages, and turned it into their theater home. To this day, La Cartoucherie remains the base of Théâtre du Soleil, a testament to their self-built, self-owned artistic independence. One of the troupe's earliest and most influential creations in that space was 1789, which premiered in 1970. Instead of staging a standard play, they decided to collectively devise a spectacle about the French Revolution, a foundational event in French collective memory ripe for re-examination. They delved into historical documents, cartoons, songs from the era, eyewitness accounts. Through improvisations, they tried to find the human heart of the events. What did it feel like to be a peasant in the famine, or a bourgeois intellectual stirring up change, or a soldier caught between king and people? They eschewed singular heroes like Robespierre or Danton. The protagonist of 1789 was essentially the people themselves. And rather than a linear narrative, the show was episodic, like a series of living paintings or interactive exhibits that the audience walked through. To convey the spirit of a collective uprising, Nutschkine made the staging itself highly collective and immersive, as we saw. The show was a massive success, not only in terms of audience enjoyment but in demonstrating a new model for theater. It showed that a complex historical political subject could be made accessible and exciting to a broad audience, and that a collective approach could yield artistically brilliant results. The show toured internationally and put Théâtre du Soleil on the map. Nutschkine's directing style was unique. She had the ability to synthesize diverse influences. She drew from classical French theater traditions, like Molière's comic flair. From Asian theater, she was fascinated by Japanese kabuki and no, Indian Kathakali dance drama, and Chinese opera, admiring their physicality and stylization. From Brecht, with his epic theater and political edge, and from the spontaneity of street theater and clowning. In rehearsal, she might have her actors don masks to explore archetypal movements, or practice ensemble movements so that they develop a kind of group mind. She is also famous for her focus on the collective creation process, the idea that a script often emerges after the ensemble has improvised together, rather than starting from a playwright's text. The actors' personalities, research, and even accidents in rehearsal all feed the final piece. After 1789, the troupe continued its journey through history with 1793, dealing with the more tumultuous, violent later phase of the Revolution, the Terror. They also tackled other subjects like the Paris Commune of 1871 in a play, and then in the late 1970s, Nutschkine turned to film. She directed Molière, a lush cinematic biography of the famous playwright, which itself was a homage to theater life and earned international accolades. Through the 1980s, Théâtre du Soleil explored world classics in their own way, often integrating cross-cultural elements. For example, between 1981 and 1984, Nutschkine staged a cycle of Shakespeare plays, like Richard II, Twelfth Night, Henry IV, but they were presented through the prism of Asian theater techniques. Actors wore makeup inspired by Japanese and Indian styles, and the staging incorporated elements of those traditions. Some critics were skeptical of mixing East and West, but audiences were enthralled by the visual and emotional richness she achieved. She was doing cultural fusion in theater long before it became fashionable, always with deep respect for the sources. Before rehearsing those Shakespeare plays, she actually took the whole troupe to Asia to study with master teachers of No and Kathakali, to ensure they approached those forms with understanding and humility. In the 1990s, Nutschkine mounted one of her grandest projects, Les Atrides, the Atridae, a four-play cycle consisting of Euripides' Iphigenia and Aulus and Aeschylus' trilogy The Orestia. This was epic theater at its best, spanning Greek myth from the sacrifice of Iphigenia to the fall of the House of Atreus. She again used Asian influences, notably Kathakali, to convey the intensity of the Greek tragic emotions. Audiences and critics worldwide recognized the production as a landmark, blending the rigor of Greek drama with the color and dynamism of Indian dance theater, all held together by Nutschkine's collective ethos and inventive staging. In one breathtaking scene from that cycle, the Furies, vengeful spirits, were portrayed by actors in blood-red costumes with wild, stylized movements drawn from Asian martial arts. An image of fury that transcended cultural boundaries and spoke directly to something primal in everyone watching. Yet, even as her productions became internationally famous, the spirit at the cartoucherie remained that of a humble commune. They welcomed audiences often with a smile at the door, sometimes even feeding them. Indeed, in many later shows, sharing a simple meal or snack with the audience became a tradition. They posted manifestos on the wall, espousing ideals of equality, peace, and the importance of imagination. Ticket prices were kept affordable, with a belief that theater should not be a luxury but available to ordinary people. A hallmark of Nutschkine's approach is also the way she integrates current issues subtly into her historical or fantastical plays. For instance, in 1995 she created La Ville Perdue, The Perjured City, about a scandal involving HIV-tainted blood. Though it was grounded in a recent French political scandal, she presented it with a chorus and scale that evoked Greek tragedy, showing that contemporary events could have epic resonance. Later, in the 2000s, she responded to the global refugee crisis with a play that portrayed the journeys of refugees using imaginative, non-realistic techniques, again using collective research and real testimonies as the bedrock. So, what is it like to be in an Ariane Nutschkine rehearsal? Imagine a large, open space in the cartoucherie, sunlight perhaps filtering in from high windows. The troupe might start the day with a physical warm-up. They practice acrobatics or maybe a traditional dance someone learned abroad, building a shared physical language. Ariane stands among them, often participating. She's in her 80s now, still active. But back in the 70s and 80s, she moved energetically alongside her actors. Then, if they are in the devising stage, they might break into groups to improvise scenes around certain ideas or historical episodes. For 1789, one improvisation might have been, "You are members of the Third Estate drafting a list of grievances to the king. Go." The actors would then create a scene, argue, and find drama. Ariane would watch, perhaps drum in hand. She sometimes uses a drum to pace scenes, encouraging them to go further, be bold, or simplify. She has a sharp eye for theatricality, knowing when to add a visual metaphor, like a sudden rain of pamphlets from the rafters to signify revolutionary ideas spreading. When working with text, she guides actors to find truth and immediacy, often reminding them of the importance of rhythm and ensemble. If one actor is emoting solo, she might say, "Ecoute. Listen." Directing them to play off their fellow actors or the audience rather than getting lost in self-indulgence. Her rehearsals can be long and exhaustive, but many actors who've worked with her describe it as a kind of utopia of creativity. Everyone feels important, from the lead actor to the stagehand painting the scenery. And indeed, at Théâtre du Soleil, the actors often help make their costumes and props. The hierarchy between actor and technician is blurred in favor of one big family of theater makers. Returning to that performance of 1789, recall the intermission where the troupe ladles out onion soup to the audience. As people line up with bowls, actors, still half in costume, mingle and chat with spectators about what they've seen. A factory worker and a university professor, both audience members, find themselves at a table discussing the courage of the French peasant women. They might not have spoken to each other normally, but here the play is common ground. Ariane moves among the crowd quietly, delighted to see exactly what she hoped for. Conversation, connection, community. After the show, the audience doesn't just applaud and leave. Many linger, energized, discussing late into the night. Some join the troupe around bonfires outside the cartoucherie, a frequent social ritual of theirs, to continue singing songs from the show. Theater is not just a spectacle to consume, Nutschkine proves. It is an experience to live together. As the years pass, Ariane Nutschkine's commitment to collective creation never wavers. She refuses offers to direct on Broadway or at commercial venues that would force her to abandon her methods. Instead, she doubles down on the power of ensemble. She often says, "Le theater, c'est sacré." Theater is sacred. Not in a stuffy way, but meaning it's a space of ritual and truth that needs to be protected from the corruptions of ego and money. Under her guidance, Théâtre du Soleil becomes a kind of sanctuary for idealistic artistry. People from all over the world come to join or observe. Some go on to form their own companies inspired by her principles. She also stands as a trailblazer for women in theater, in a field where, especially in earlier decades, most famous directors were men. Nutschkein carved out her place with strength and grace. She led not by imposing but by nurturing, showing an alternative model of leadership that was cooperative yet decisive when needed. Younger female theater makers cite her as an inspiration, seeing how she navigated challenges, like early on being dismissed by some as a girl director, with results that silenced doubters. Let's picture one more scene, the final moments of a later Theater du Soleil production, say Les Ephemeres, a 2006 show of short life moments, or another. The performance has ended and the ensemble stands for their bow. Unlike traditional bows where stars step forward, here the entire cast, crew, and even musicians link arms in a long line. Ariane Nutschkein is there too, usually standing not in the center, but off to the side or wherever she happened to be among them. They all bow as one, a long, grateful sweep towards the audience. The audience rises to their feet, clapping, many with tears, because they have been truly included in something human and profound. Among the actors you see faces of many ethnicities. Theater du Soleil has become a tapestry of international members over time, reflecting Ariane's ethos of universality in art. They smile and bow again, not as celebrities but as fellow humans thanking others for coming to share a story. As the crowd filters out, you catch snatches of conversation. "I've never felt so inside a play before," someone says. Another responds, "It's like we traveled to another world and came back together." These comments are the highest reward for Nutschkein. In the quiet after everyone's gone, Ariane might walk through the now empty space of La Cartoucherie, picking up a stray program or adjusting a piece of set. She often stays after to absorb the lingering atmosphere. The work, to her, is always about something bigger than herself. It's about people finding common ground, imagination igniting change, empathy expanding. Perhaps she reflects on the irony that an old arms factory, once a place manufacturing tools of war, has become a cradle of art that promotes understanding and peace. There's poetry in that transformation, just as there was poetry in turning a dry history lesson into the exhilarating 1789 experience. Ariane Nutschkein and her Theater du Soleil remind us of a simple but profound truth. Theater is made by people, for people, and its greatest special effect is the creation of temporary community. In an era when theater and society can often feel fragmented or commercialized, Nutschkein's life's work stands as a beacon of what can happen when creativity, idealism, and collaboration guide the way. Under her sun, audiences have marched through revolutions, dined with historical figures, wept for strangers' sorrows, and laughed at the folly of kings, all while standing shoulder to shoulder with others, united in the glow of a shared story. That is a theater not just for beginners, but for everyone,